Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power!
That is all power.
It's no commercials, no BS, no f***ing around. Starting with Mike Ruco.
Hello, babe.
Followed by today's top six. Top six sports stories. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins.
Fight the power.
Now. Krook and Kipe, the brotherhood born from Giants baseball.
Hello, babe.
Time for curveballs and comebackers with Krook.
Green onions.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good hitting music and good pitching music.
The San Francisco legend Mike Ruco joins Murph and Mac.
Good morning.
Sponsored by
your Northern California Honda dealers. Thousands of new Hondas are on the way and being delivered to dealers every day.
On KNBR 104.5 at 680, the sports leader.
All right, Giants coming out of St. Louis. Lose 2 out of 3 to a very tough Cardinals team that they had two pretty epic series with. They wound up playing 7 with the Cardinals. Cardinals take 4 out of 7 in a wild national TV game last night. Obviously, the big story is Rodon, but we can get into this too. Mauricio Dubon got traded this weekend too. Lots of stuff to get to with Mike Ruco on the UMA guest line. Mike, good morning.
Mike.
Happy Monday morning to you, man. How are you?
Yeah, happy. Yeah, it is happy, and I'm doing good. Although, I mean, I'm recovering from having watched the worst baseball game of the year, and then flipping it over to the worst basketball game in the history of the game.
It really was.
Seriously.
Which followed the other worst basketball game 7 in the history of the game.
You know what I mean?
Jeez.
It was. Mike, they're going to have to do an investigation in Phoenix as to what happened.
Oh,
I mean,
they're
going to have to call in the feds or
something.
That's
the number one seed, too.
Yeah, at home.
On their own floor.
I can't remember that ever happening before. Do you? Can you?
No.
Not like that, Mike.
No.
Not a blowout like that.
People are digging around the history books. That was a shocking turn of events.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's Phoenix's problem. We'll get into the
Let them worry about that.
Let's start with the most recent, and obviously Rodon, and just that very blatant strategy. The Cardinals came and said, we're going to jump him. And just your thoughts on that whole deal of how Rodon, you know, how maybe they I don't want to say they figured him out, but they had a plan, they attacked it, and maybe what Rodon takes away from this.
Well, I mean, he's not going to read too much into it. But, you know, when you get it going good, I mean, you're going deep into every game. You know, you're in a great rhythm. I mean, your stuff is jumping out of your hand. It's explosive. There's late movement. You're making people look foolish. And that's pretty much what we saw every time you went out there. And the thing is, when you get it going good, you throw out pitches. So, you know, they beefed his arm. He was maxing out whatever their pitch count was to him every time he was going out there. And every once in a while, you know, you put a string of really great starts together, there'll be that time when you come back and you're pitching on the fifth day and your arm doesn't respond. I mean, you may not even feel that bad. Or, I mean, you know, you may feel pretty good, but your arm's dead. And you go out there and now your stuff's not electric. Now, if you go back to the start before last night, I guess it was in that game. Anyway, you go back to his previous start, he labored a little bit. You know, he had to muscle up. You remember he had a 31 first inning pitch count on that. And then by the end of the second inning, he had almost 60. He got them through 6, which they needed because their bullpen was so banged up. But still, it was not easy. He had to struggle. And I just don't think his arm came back last night. Now, what happens when you have a guy like Rodon and you're the opponent that day? You know, you're going to want to jump him early. You don't want to get into a 2-strike against this guy. 2-strike count against him is death. He's striking people out almost 2 innings, 2 guys a clip, or two guys an inning. And so that's a guy you got to try and beat early, which is what the Cardinals did. They went up there and they tried to attack. Now, Rodon, like a lot of guys with great stuff, you know, they want to get strike one, and that's what he was doing. He was throwing it across the plate. You know, it just wasn't snapping. His slider was lazy. His fastball was not as good, and they torched him. So does he think too much on it? No, he doesn't. You know, and the good thing is, you know, he was out in the fourth inning. So he'll have a lot of time to recover. His arm will come back strong. He'll be fine.
It was the first home run he gave up all year, Goldschmidt. The first one Rodon's given up all year. 43-inning homerless streak for Rodon. Just is crazy to be that good in the big leagues. Mike, what are we going to do about sending Goldschmidt to Mars? How's that for an idea?
How do we do that? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking about, when was the last time we saw a guy who's throwing that good get torched by somebody? Well, it's probably Lindstrom with Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
He's the guy that comes up with big hits against the Giants. And Arenado's the other guy. I mean, they have two of them. Thankfully, we know where they're at. They're in the other division, and, they're done with them. But, man, those guys, what they have done against the Giants, shame on them.
Yeah. So, by the way, would you give Rodon extra rest coming out of this, given that what you just talked about with the workload?
Depends on how he feels today. If he's got a hot spot, absolutely. If he doesn't, no, I wouldn't. Again, when you have a short outing, you don't throw as many pitches, and so because of that, your arm will come back stronger. But they may do that. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing if you've got off days, and they do, to just give them a 5 days rest, throw them on a 6 day type of deal. I think they should do that with everybody every once in a while. And I also think that during the course of the season, I think a guy should just skip a start.
Yeah, you guys never did that, right? I mean, or did you?
Yeah, some guys did. I mean, we were really the generation that went from the 4-man rotation to a consistent 5-man rotation. But when I first got up, we flew on every fourth day. And if your day came up, there was an off day where your day came up with the ace, you didn't pitch in the rotation. That happened to me with Rick Russell, who was the ace with the Cubs. A couple times, I was here, I was set to go on a fourth day. And they, no, you get the day out today. We're giving the ball right. That ace never missed on a fourth day.
Mm. Giants, speaking of rotations, going with Alex Wood tonight against the Rockies, who are going with Senzatella, righty. 5:40 first pitch, Giants-Rockies. Giants just swept the Rockies in San Francisco. Hopefully they can do it again. And by the way, Dwayne Kuiper is going to be in Denver on the call, which is so great, so great. Just a little bit before we get to the Dubon question here is about just in general the matchup with the Cardinals, because that could be a playoff matchup. I mean, the Giants are good enough to make the playoffs. There's more playoff spots this year. And that's 7 games we've seen them. And it seems like that's a pretty – I mean, I know Dodgers, Padres. The Cardinals are a pretty legit squad, Mike, and that would be a handful in the playoffs.
They'd be formidable. I thought that the 7 games that these two – teams played were fantastic, excluding last night, just throw that out. But I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think when you play the Cardinals, you have to play good defense. When you're playing an exceptional defensive team, you have to play exceptional defense. That's the one thing you have to be conscious of. You have to elevate your defensive game because they're not going to beat themselves. And the other thing, too, about the Cardinals is that they're very good on the base pass. They're smart. They don't beat themselves on the base pass. So, I mean, you have to tighten it up. I mean, from at the at-bats perspective, I think that they're solid at-bats from both clubs up and down. I think the arms match up, the bullpens match up. I just think it's going to be, a series that we're always used to seeing when the Cardinals-Giants play. It's going to get down to who makes the fewest mistakes, and it's going to be really close games. So, you can say that same thing about the way the Dodgers are, when the Giants play the Dodgers or the Padres. I mean, good teams, you cannot beat yourself against, and that'll be the key as the Giants go forth.
By the way, we can't not mention Pujols on the mound. I mean, Gabe Kapler said it was great theater. And it was, right? It was 15-2, and the crowd went nuts. It's video forever.
The whole stadium was standing while he was pitching. It was crazy.
What'd you think, Mike?
I thought it saved the game for both teams.
Yeah.
I thought that, he goes out there, and the Cardinals are all obviously having a great day, so they just got icing on the cake. But the Giants were, they're getting ready to get on a very quiet plane ride into Denver. And after what happened with Pujols going out there and Longoria getting hit and asking for the ball, and I mean, the whole thing was just great theater. And yes, it was fun, but the Giants, they started laughing. They had fun. They were going back in the clubhouse, and I guarantee you they were laughing about that whole thing. They weren't thinking 1 minute about that game, not even Rodon. I mean, they were just like, okay, let's go, next city. And the bad defeat, it was over. Thank you, Albert Pujols.
Yeah, it was great. You would like to grab a bat. Did you face position players? We've maybe asked you this periodically through the years. You ever face one?
No, I never did.
Yeah.
I mean, the one that was great was when Lacoste faced Dane Orr.
It was a great game.
We're playing the Padres in San Francisco, and Lacoste is dealing. And we get up to, it's like 15-1, and then they put in Dane Orr. So on that particular day, remember Mike Woodard, he was a little infielder. Yeah. He never had a big league home run. Well, he steps up against Dane Orr. home run. Yes. First big league home run. And then here comes Lacoste. Woo! Home run. First big league home run. So you know what we're saying for like the next week.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that's great, you guys. What if it's your only home run?
Yeah.
I can see it now. Your grandkids hopping up on your lap and saying, hey, Grandpa, did you hit a home run in the big leagues? And you would say, yes, I did. And then he would say, who'd you hit it off of? And you'd have to say, there would be a stigma on that whole stat, right? Well, the next game, Lacoste goes out there, and he's facing Tom Browning in Cincinnati. He hits a home run. So that was it. I mean, he had two lifetime homers, but he had one that was legit. Mike Woodard, that was it.
That's awesome.
He hit one home run, and he hit it out with Dane York.
That is really good. Dane York. I remember that name quite well. I-O-R-G.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. He was a Cardinal, too, right? Wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. Dane York. Oh, man, my days of
it.
I just got a baseball card flashback to my youth, man, opening up that pack and seeing Dane York. Also, Mike, about the – before, again, I want to ask about the Dubon trade sort of near the end, but the Logan Webb performance Friday, they got the win. But, he only struck out one guy, so the strikeout numbers are different. Just wonder your thoughts.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Well, I think it's a great start for one reason. I mean, he was out of whack, but yet he still managed to, you know, give them a chance to win a game. And I think that's what true aces do. Right now, he's mechanically screwed up. Mm. You know, he's all over the place with his location. When you compare him to what he'd done early in the season where he just went out there and was easy. Right now, it's not easy. And he's having to figure out a way to get it done. And that's what makes you a pitcher. That's how you learn to pitch, is when you start to lose stuff. You start doing anything out there. You start trying to trick them. And I thought that, he's got some work to do between starts. He's got to get back into that good mechanical groove. And the good thing about this generation is they've got so much data about everything that comes out of a guy's hand. They record everything. So they know when he's in a good groove and they know when he's not. And they can get you into a groove a lot quicker in this generation than they've ever been able to do. So hopefully they can get him back into a good groove.
Yeah, I love my Logan Webb, man. I need 62 dealing. So Giants 20-14, third place in the NL West, only a game and a half behind the Padres and the Dodgers. And then they make the Dubon trade. And I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. But if you look into it, Mike, I think the writers all said, well, he was out of options.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they chose between him and Tyro Estrada. LaStella's coming back. But just, you know, there's a kid out of Sacramento. He comes from Central America, you know, the ultimate dream. He tweeted out, thank you for making a kid's dream come true. But I think fans liked his smile and his versatility. Your thoughts?
Well, I feel the same way about this as I felt about Matt Duffy going out the door. You know, I mean, I really like this guy. And we saw him getting better right before our eyes. I mean, he made a lot of mistakes that really he should have learned earlier in the minor leagues. Well, he kind of got rushed to the big leagues, I mean, because he was so good. And I think it's a trade that, they're going to regret. But, you know, Andrew Bagley wrote the whole piece about the one you're talking about that absolutely spelled out as to why it had to happen. It got down to one thing. The Giants, once the rosters got set back to 26 guys, they had to make a call. Dubon is out of options. Estrada is out of options. It got down to which guy did you want? And at this point, they opted for Estrada, and that was the choice. And then, you know, out the door goes Dubon. But that really hurt me. I didn't want to see that guy go out. And I think the Giants felt the same way. But, I mean, sometimes in this business, because of the rules, you're forced to make the hard decision. And I think that was a hard decision for them.
Yeah, they got a catcher, which raised some people's eyebrows, thinking, "Oh, is that what is that statement is about Bart and Casale?" But I guess they said that they don't really love their depth right now in the 40 man. They wanted to flesh out the depth.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. I went and looked him up. I mean, he's not an offensive guy. He's got good reputation as a glove and throw guy. So, we'll wait to those guys you have to have. You got they're security blankets. I mean, the Chadwick Trumps of the world. I mean, they're good players to fill in, and they get you through a rough spot when your mainline guy is down with a 2-week injury. But so I think you have to have those fail safes. But again, once you're out of options, I mean, organizations know this, and so you're not always going to maximize what you could possibly get for a guy because of that situation. So getting a catch and throw catcher, I think, is a pretty good get.
By the way, Mike, if you want to nerd out here as we wrap up, this Mariners-Giants trade thing, they've made 4 trades in the last couple of weeks, and it seems like Jerry DePoto of the Mariners is like a Farhan type of guy who just loves, like a mad scientist tinkering all the time, and they each see each other's needs and scratching each other's backs. And I don't know if you've been following 4 trades between these two teams. Are you nerding out and following all this?
Well, I'm absolutely following it. And you do that. I mean, in the baseball world, when you're a general manager or a president of an organization, you have relationships with other people around the league. Some guys you like, some guys you don't like. And, I think when Farhan makes a deal, I think he and Scott Harris get together and they look for a specific. They're looking for a guy who can do specific things. And I think, what has happened with the new generation because of all the data crunching, they're able to go into the minor leagues and they get these guys around the minor leagues that some organizations just kind of smother. They don't really have much opportunity for them. And they'll look to resurrect those guys. And that's been the track record of Farhan everywhere he's gone. And every time he makes these small deals, or at least they appear to be small, they loom large down the road. We're thinking, man, Lamont Wade Jr., that's a deal. Mike Yastrzemski, yeehaw, daddy. I like that, So every time a deal gets made, you have when it does get made between Seattle and the Giants, you have 2 general managers who are kind of the same way. So if you find a deal that gets to your specifics and they have a guy that fits their specifics, then let's make a deal. And they don't hesitate.
Yeah, Mike Ford, Kevin Padlow, Donovan Walton, and Stu Fairchild are the 4 names that have gone back and forth. And Ford's already back with the Mariners. He's gone Mariners, Giants, back to the Mariners, and he's starting for him now. So it's if you want to get into the weeds, transaction fans, that's the thing to follow, the Mariners, Giants pipeline. So, all right, Mike, good stuff. It's great to have Dwayne in Denver tonight, right? And what are you looking for just quickly in this Rockies series? I mean, the Giants swept the Rockies, which was great. But now you're in that dastardly mile-high city where weird things happen.
Well, and the Rockies are a different team there. And, they've traditionally proven that. And they swing the bats differently there. So I think the key going into any time you go into a Denver series is your offense has to play. You have to put some runs up. And that'll be the challenge.
Yeah, well, I imagine they'll start banging them. Maybe Jock Peterson was in a big, deep slump, and he'll get out of it and start sending some balls around the Mile High City. All right, Mike, we'll enjoy these Monday and Tuesday games. We'll talk to you Wednesday morning.
Got a bit.
Mike Kruko starting off the Power Hour nicely. Yeah, the Rockies are 12-7 at home versus 5-10 on the road. Just FYI there, buddy.
I hate going into Smiling Sammy Huestis' house. I hate it over there.
Yeah, yeah.
I really do. I like Sammy. I just don't like his house.
Well, should Gabe open the conferences by saying, it's nice to be in this city where my basketball team vanquished your basketball team.
Vanquished.
By the way, we have to tell everybody about this Gabe Kapler piece on ESPN.com that Tim Kuhn wrote. First of all, Tim Kuhn's unbelievable sports writing royalty. When he shows up, he's going to write you a freaking epic poem is what he's going to do. The deepest dive I've ever seen into who is Gabe Kapler.
That's a great hell of a question, too. Who is Gabe Kapler? You could ponder that.
All your answers. I tweeted it out. If anybody wants to see it, it's on my Twitter feed at KMBR Murph.
Who is Gabe Kapler?
But it's a long read. You better get a sandwich and sit down and get your phone out. And it'll take you about 15, 20 minutes
to
read
that. Do they address the physique at any point?
Yes, they do.
How often
does he? He described his forearms, ready for this? A phlebotomist's dream.
Phlebotomists?
Those are the people who draw blood from you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's a phlebotomist dream, yeah.
Wouldn't you say? Because the veins.
He's got those big horse veins. Yeah, those weightlifter guys, man. They do. They get the
line.
Big rope veins.
A phlebotomist's dream.
Well, I like to consider myself a phlebotomist dream.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot. Dude, there's endless Gabe gems in there.
Does he dive? I got another question. These are the things on my mind. Okay, probably not the very few of them baseball related, just Gabe related questions. And I mean this one. Did he address the like the cropping and the grooming of the beard?
Well,
and like just his
Kuhn observes it. There's no Kapler quote on it, but Kuhn observes that the beard manicuring is part of the persona.
No, without a question, magnetized to it.
So anyway,
and it's jet black too. On top of everything else,
make yourself a salami sandwich and read it today. All right,
it's as black as Brando's leather jacket in the Wild Ones.
I'd love to hear your observations after we duck out and do the exactly spell phlebotomist.
Can't do it.
That's hard. Here's the deal: Hums and Bums.
Okay,
Total Weekend Recall. Hum Babies, Bum Babies. Next Monday style on KMBR 104.5 and 680. The Sports Leader.
Mike Kruko with Murph and Mac has been sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. The Murph and Mac Power Hour surges on.
Feel the power.
Next on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader. Here's what's trending now.
Trending now.
On KNBR.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.